Welcome to Hope Talks, where inspiring stories and biblical truth come together to share the hope found in Jesus Christ, hosted by Grayson Willis. Join us as we share uplifting stories of triumph, practical teaching, and conversation that point to the enduring hope and life-changing love of Jesus Christ. If you're in the listening area, be sure to tune in to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon on 1470 AM and 102.1 FM WBTX.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by Pastor Olivia Smith. Pastor Olivia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. And we have another guest today in to share her testimony. Would you like to introduce her, Pastor Olivia?
Yes, this is Heidi Valladares-Yanes. Yes. And I have known her for a very long time. Yes. So I'm really glad to be here.
So, yeah, Heidi, thank you for joining us today, and it's great to have you. Heidi, maybe before you start with your testimony, you can talk about you've been interning here for the summer, and prior to that, you were working here part-time. So if you want to share that, then we'll hop into your testimony.
Yeah. So I do communications-ish.
Yes. Yeah.
For the most part, I edit some of the pictures that we usually post on our COTN Hope Instagram page, but also throughout that I get to visit all of our campuses that we have grown, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm doing it as an internship to graduate school, because if I don't do that, then I won't graduate. But yeah, prior to doing my internship, I worked here. I was like the interim children's director's assistant. And I did that because I went to Eastern Nazarene College, and the summer before going back for my junior year, they had shut down. They had sent like an email like 2 months before, and they were like, hey, we're shutting down. Here's a list of schools that you can like transfer to. And for me personally, I just couldn't transition to a new school that quickly. So I took a small break, and the children's pastor at the time, Julie, she was just like, hey, like, I'm, like, stepping down. Do you want to, like, be a part of the team? And I was like, I'll think about it. And then I was like, yeah, I think this is what, like, the Lord is calling me to do right now. And now I'm at Tribeca Nazarene, and it's so much fun. I love the school. Such a beautiful campus. I love, like, every aspect of it. I love my friends. I love the community that I've built there. And I love the church that I go to there. I'm so incredibly involved in there, too. So I'm just excited to see what the Lord has in store when I go back to school.
So tell us a little bit about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Yeah. So I am originally from here, Virginia. I wouldn't say I was kind of like all over the place. My parents, well, when I was younger, like way younger, like from infant to like 2 years old, we lived in like Harrisonburg. But then from Harrisonburg, I moved to Bridgewater, and I lived there for like a decade or so. And after Bridgewater, my parents and I, or my whole family and I, we finally like were able to buy a house. And now my parents and I live in Weir's Cave. So, and even then, I was throughout all of like the different locations, we've always just like been here. Like I grew up here, just coming to church every Sunday. And that's something that Pastor Felicita and I joke around all the time is that she, like, knew me, like, way back when, like, when I had, like, pigtails and I was, like, sucking my thumb. So it's, like, even, like, with Olivia and even, like, you, Grayson. My brother, like, grew up with you. And then, Olivia, you, like, have known me since, like, middle school.
Yeah, we go back. Which is crazy.
Yeah. Like, that's something that I've also, like, transitioning from seeing you as, like, my youth pastor to, like, my supervisor, but also in a way like my mentor. Like I love just coming into the office, and I love saying good morning to like that's one thing that I love doing. I loved like coming in, and like I loved getting like a good morning from you, Grayson. And also I just love like the things that happen in our office.
It's been so fun this summer to get to work together.
Yeah,
I remember having Felix in my small group when I was leading youth. So, yep. And then when you and Victoria, your younger sister, came into youth groups.
Yeah.
Any early memories about faith, or maybe the first time you ever went to church, or just any early memories?
I would say just being in community. I think that was the biggest thing. And even like up till now, being part of like the Nazarene denomination, I love how much community plays a huge role. And growing up, I've just always just been surrounded by my church community. I had my quinceañera here. I had my graduation. When I graduated high school, I had my party here. And just literally anything and everything, it's just been surrounded by community. And not only that, but when I went to ENC, but also transferred to Trevecca, something that I've taken from here is just building community and being a part of community. Because one way that I've grown in my faith is community. Community strengthens me, and I feel like if I don't have that, then, you know, like, God isn't showing me, like, where he's at. Because something that I've also learned with transitioning to new schools is that community plays a big role, and community can show up in more ways than one. And I've just grown so much, and I feel like I have a lot of strength because of, like, the communities that I've built and the communities that I'm going to continue to build.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
We're talking about, like, early childhood faith memories. One of the reasons that getting to work with you is so special now is because you were, like, some of the, when I came on staff here in 2017, can you do the math? What grade were you in?
2017. I think it was, like, early stages. I was either in sixth or seventh grade.
I was going to say, I feel like you were a pretty, like, early youth min kid for me when I was the youth pastor here. And so we, like, I think we went through most of your middle in high school. We journeyed that together. Let's just say we did that journey together, which was wonderful. But I would love to know, like, we spent a lot of time together, a lot of trips, a lot of youth group nights. Like, what is a core youth group? Like, fun memory or, like, memory that maybe was, like, more formative in your faith journey? Maybe both, whatever you want to share.
I think I got to know you a lot more. I think it was when we were on our way to, like, fall retreat, me and you and Victoria, we were in the car.
I remember the trip.
Yeah. I think that's where I just got to know you more of, like, a deeper level. And in a way, I was like, wow, like, I, like, no, Pastor Olivia, but also I just, like, she's so cool.
And
I just want to, like, just continue to, like, get to know you. But also just, this is so bad. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I literally did it. I feel so bad for you, but I promise you, it was so much fun. During NYC 2019, we went to the Grand Canyon. And I was sitting off of the ledge trying to get a really good picture, but I just kept leaning closer to the ledge. And, like, you were freaking out.
Yeah, I can shed some more light onto that story because it is also one of the ones I think about when I think of you. And you, I mean, you were one of those youth group kids who was just, like, really consistent and faithful and being a part. And, like, you were eager to know more and learn more, but you were also fun. And so we went to at Nazarene Youth Conference. They always have something fun that we get to do when we went to the Grand Canyon. And I was, we had, I think, 18 teenagers and me and my friend, coworker Aubrey, we were 25, maybe.
That's so crazy.
And had 18 high schoolers in Arizona kind of by ourselves. And we were like, who's letting us do this? And so I was very nervous when we went to the Grand Canyon because I just wanted everyone to be safe. And I couldn't be everywhere at once. And I look over and Haiti is trying to get, like, an artistic, like, picture of her sitting on the edge of the Grand Canyon. And I thought I was going to lose my mind.
It was actually, I, like, when you were telling me, we were reliving that story and you had told me that, like, from your perspective, I was like, oh, I actually probably should have not done that. But the pictures came out great.
Isn't it crazy how things change when you're no longer a teenager? You're like, oh, I get it now. I get it now.
Oh, my goodness. But I just, like, that's something that I've also just loved just doing right here, doing in the summer. Like, seeing it from your perspective, obviously, like, being older. I think that's one way that, like, I've gotten closer to you as well, of just, like, looking back at our memories, but also just, like, having, like, adult conversations. Like, the other day I was telling her how I want to, like, make sourdough, and she was like, no, don't do it. And then she started telling me, like, how it's just, like, so complicated, like, the part of, like, kneading and waiting, but also having, like, what, like, scrapped out sourdough bread.
Yeah, discard.
Discard, that's what it is. And I was like, I don't know if I want to make sourdough bread.
Did you ever think you'd talk about sourdough on Hope Talks, Grayson?
We're open to talking about whatever people want to talk about.
Like, that's, like, just any conversation that we have, regardless if it's, like, silly or if it's, like, serious. Like, her and I, we had a decent long conversation about pastoral care because I was taking a pastoral care class this past school year at Trevecca, and I just learned so much more about just being present plays a huge role. Like, you don't even have to talk. You don't have to do anything. Just some bit, like, a person, one way of doing ministry is just being there for somebody and having a listening ear. And right now I'm going into my last year at Trevecca, and I am a little bit freaked out about it because I have a calling towards ministry. I am open to wherever, regardless if it's children, to youth, young adult, or even like what Pastor Kevin is doing. I feel like that's where, like, I belong, and I have a sense of purpose in that. But I just don't know, like, where specifically.
Yeah.
And that's the part where I'm freaking out the most. We were having a conversation about pastoral care and, you know, things like boundaries, but also just making sure that my cup is, like, flowing so that it overflows into other people's cups.
Yeah.
Like, I love just those conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. As you were talking, Haiti, I was thinking about something. Hopefully this will calm your nervousness. I was thinking about, so there's a evangelist that used to come to our church almost every year, James Sproul. And one year when he was here on a Wednesday night service, I think it was the last revival service, Dad was kind of leading the college age group at that point, college and young adults. We had a transition in that area. And so he invited the college and young adult kids to go to Applebee's with Reverend James Sproul the night after the service. And there was this college girl, and she was concerned about missing God's will for her life. And Reverend James, I remember Dad kind of let him speak some truth into her life. And Reverend James asked this college girl who was getting ready to graduate, I assume, or was close to it. And he said, "Do you want God's will for your life?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, if you want God's will for your life and you're trusting and seeking him, then if his will doesn't happen, it's his fault, not yours. So trust God to lead you where he wants you to go."
Yeah.
That's so funny that you say that, Grayson, because I remember when I was interviewing, I also went to Eastern Nazarene College. And so I was a ministry student there. And my senior year, I was interviewing with your dad, Pastor Carey, and Pastor Adrian, to come work here as the youth pastor. And I remember saying that to your dad, to Pastor Carey. I said, "I just don't want to miss God's will on my life. Like, I don't want to do the wrong thing." And he said that to me. And so I have shared that with a lot of high school seniors and college seniors. So it's cool to know where that came from. Yeah, when you're living in the will of God, he aligns you to his will. So it doesn't always help you to not feel stressed because there's still reality that you're facing and walking into. But we can, like, have some confidence, you know? So,
Yeah, just seek him and he'll open the doors that need to be open and close the doors that need to be closed.
Yeah, there are. I have a professor that made the transition from ENC to Trevecca, Greg Shepherd. I love him. He's a religion professor at Trevecca, and he's just one of, like, my biggest, like, support systems. Like, he's part of that community, and he has, like, so much, like, faith in me that I'm called into ministry, which I love. And he's helping me find just grow, I guess, like, networking, if that makes any sense. Before I was leaving for the summer, he had asked me to send over my personal information because there was a church in Florida that they didn't have, like, a youth pastor or anything like that. But I have been, like, branching out, and I have been, like, considering. But, yeah, I think I just need to pray about it and just see what, and then see where the Lord takes me.
And God is just so much bigger than who, you know, we even know or understand. So there are things that you are capable of through the power of his spirit in you that even feel out of reach probably to you. So just be open and be trusting, and that will, might not be easy, but it will fall. It'll fall into place when it's supposed to. So
yeah,
it's good.
Thanks, guys.
So any memories that you would like to share, whether, you know, youth group memories or your time either at ENC or Trevecca or being involved here at church that have kind of helped shaped you and form you?
I just think just like the community aspect. My sophomore year at ENC, I think that definitely was when I started, I guess that's when God like had transformed me. And it was mostly just because my friend group at the time in my sophomore year at ENC, we just came from so many different backgrounds, regardless if it was like from a religious aspect or just a cultural aspect. Like we would all just like sit together and we would either have those like hard and tough conversations, or we would just like play card games and just laugh and just talk about funny stuff. But that's when I started to realize how important community is to me, but also how much, in a way, like I would say I'm like an advocate for change, I guess, because I just see how my friends at the time just encouraged me so much to just be the best version of myself, but also that version of who God is calling me to be. And when I was seeing that and I was being transformed, I was like, I want to also be like that. So that kind of gave me a push into that door of just being who I was called to be and being in community and how important community is to me. So, yeah.
So tell us, I know, like, even when you were at ENC, we were still talking and, you know, like, you're still in my life. And so we were having some conversations about some things you were experiencing your first year of school. And there was a pretty significant shift in you between your freshman year and sophomore year.
Yeah.
You've talked a little bit about your community and how that has played a role in your transformation. But talk to us. You don't have to go into the details of everything you experienced. But talk to us about that, like, season of transformation in your life, where you were and where you are now, and maybe how, like, God did that in you.
Yeah. So my freshman year at ENC, I didn't really have, like, the greatest friend group. They introduced me to, like, growing up, I was very much in, like, a sheltered home. Like, this is, like, I grew up in the church. Like, anything and everything I knew was church. So transitioning from not being at my home to like being at school, I met a group of people who I'm sure they're like great people and they're doing great now. Like some of them had just graduated, which is like so huge. But they introduced me to like not so great things that I just, growing up, it just wasn't something that I was just ever around. So it took me being back home and like being here. I remember I was in the sanctuary and like third service, and I was like, wow, like I've completely lost my relationship with Christ because of I've let these like worldly things like take over. And when I like noticed that, I just like, it was hard. Like I just remember just feeling so much guilt, but also I just felt so bad because my relationship with God had grown so much, and then for it to just in a way just be like knocked down in seconds because of the worldly things just, like, happening around me. So when I recognized that and I realized that, I talked to God about it. Like, I prayed a lot about it. But I also, like, I talked to my community. I talked to Pastor Olivia about it. I talked to Pastor Chris about it. And going back into the spring semester of my freshman year, seeing those people again, definitely took a lot of, like, conversations with them of, like, hey, I really don't think that we should be friends anymore because of X, Y, Z. I'm still wishing you the best. And then there was other people that, like, I just didn't really talk to. Mostly because, I mean, I don't know why they didn't talk to me, but, like, I knew why I didn't talk to them. And that's where the process of, I guess, started again. And it did take, like, so much patience and it took so much work, but also just, it took like so much vulnerability of me as well. And I think that's where I also get that strength from. That's something that I love about being in community. And that's something that I've learned is I just love having conversations with people. I love getting to know people's like stories, where they come from, like just anything and everything just having to do with conversations and community, because not only do I gain so much more of an understanding of that person, but I just gain so much respect because they've shared this topic or they've shared this thing that is so vulnerable. And I just have just the utmost respect
for whoever I'm having conversations with and being in community with.
Yeah. So it sounds like reshaping your community was a huge part.
Yeah.
In finding your way to where you are now, which you would say is like a more healed, whole version of yourself.
Yeah.
There was one thing you said that I would love to just like dive into a little more if you're comfortable with it. You talked a little bit about like the things you were introduced to that were not a part of your life, and you felt guilt around that and probably some shame around that. What does the process of like forgiving yourself and releasing the shame and the guilt look like for you to be able to live like a more whole self, with your whole self?
I think for me, the way that I did it, it was hard because I didn't tell like my parents about it. I didn't tell, the only people that I really told were my sister and then like you, Pastor Olivia, and then Chris. Like those were the main people that I mostly told. And in a way, when I had like confessed to you guys about it, I was like, you know what, let me like also confess to like God about that. So when I started that process, I just remember it was just so hard for me to like admit that to God, even though he knew that it was happening because he saw it be happening. But just the endless grace and mercy and just like the love that I got, not only from God, but also from you and Chris and Victoria, my sister, like it made the process a lot more easier. I think for me, I love to like ball things up and then like at the last minute it explodes, which is something that I am working on. But it's the hardest part, like truly is like letting go. I know that that sounds like so taboo or like so like cheesy, but at least when it comes to being called to ministry or just wanting to just have a relationship with God, like we have, God is like so easy to access and it's hard to admit it. But once you admit that you need him or you just want to support or you like are asking God to help you to hold your hand, like he will do it.
And I just want to repeat what you just said. God is easy to access. That is a good word. And, you know, there are people who need to hear that. Thanks for sharing that.
And he's always available.
It's
part of that easy access.
And
also he's a loving father.
Like
you alluded to, he already knows these things and he wants us to share with him and to whatever it is. Whether it be good things or hard things or bad things, or he wants us to share all of it. You know, he wants us to feel comfortable. Because he created us. He knows all about us.
And something else that I've also learned, I think, through this past school year at Trevecca is that whenever I'm hurting or whenever I'm grieving, especially, like, looking back when I was feeling that shame and feeling that guilt, like, God was feeling those exact same emotions. So the fact that he was in the guilt when I was in the guilt or he was in the shame when I was in the shame, it's like, again, like God is easy to access. Like he knows how you're feeling. It's just opening up. Like he wants you to open up. He's there for you. And he understands where you're coming from. But he also, like, he sees and he knows that you want to be helped. And you just have to let him.
Surrender. What does surrender look like to you? What does that, when you hear that word, what does that mean to you?
Surrender to me means to like wholeheartedly just, I guess in a way, be like Jesus, like wholeheartedly, like just not only like be a good person, but also just to, in a way, like be like Jesus. I'm reading through Matthew right now. So there are like so many times where Jesus is like, all of like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they try so hard to, I don't want to say condemn, but they try so hard to, like, condemn or, like, put Jesus into this, like, box so that he can get killed and everything. But there's also so many times where Jesus either walks away from that or he just spends time in solitude. So when I think of surrender, I just think of just the bravery that Jesus had when he walked away from and like anything and everything that the Pharisees and Sadducees were saying. Because also for me, like, if you're going to like continue to just like, I guess, like poke the bear, like, I'm going to prove you wrong. I am going to prove you wrong, like 100%. But seeing that bravery and just walking away or just spending so much time in solitude, that is when I think of like surrendering, of like surrendering to what other people think or act or say about me or about whoever, but also just spending time with God, because God is truly the one that knows me.
Yeah. God was his source, and his ultimate surrender happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done."
Yeah.
When he was facing death on a cross.
Yeah.
So, Haiti, what else today in the last few minutes would you like to share with us? Maybe it's something that we haven't asked you already or that you'd like to share.
I think I would just encourage people to just know that, like, God truly loves them, but also God shows up in more ways than one. Something that I've also learned at Tribeca is that, obviously, reading your Bible and praying, that's super important, but God shows up in more ways than one. Something that I've learned so much about doing my internship over the summer and going to East Rock and going to Waynesboro and being here in Harrisonburg and then being here in Esperanza Viva is that God is truly omnipresent, and he shows up in more ways than one. So it's not only in the solitude and reading your Bible and praying, but he shows up in community. I've seen him show up at East Rock. I've seen him show up at Waynesboro. And in August, I'm so excited because, like, East Rock is doing river baptisms, Waynesboro is doing baptisms, and INEV is doing baptisms, and we're having communion here at Harrisonburg. Just seeing all of that happening, I'm so excited just because of how omnipresent God is going to show up in all of those areas, but also just seeing ways that God is truly going to move people that day. God shows up in more ways than one. And I know that we sometimes may have to look deeper into it, but yeah, like, God shows up more ways than one, and we just have to get a glimpse of it. Something that I also do in my prayers is when I was transitioning from Tribeca to ENC, it was kind of hard for me in the beginning to find that community, but something that I always prayed about was, I would say, like, "Hey, God, show up in ways that only I would understand." And I would see the ways that he would show up in, like, going to my walks to class or in the cafeteria or even in chapel in a speaker. Like, that's God showing up. Right. That is people and that is community, but at the end of the day, that is God. God is always present. And again, like, God is so easy to access.
Right.
So, that's what I would say. God is easy to access, but also just look into the details of how loving, but also how present God truly is.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about God is he wants a personal relationship with each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks to each of us differently.
Mm-hmm.
So we call this program Hope Talks. What's bringing you hope right now?
Definitely my friends at Tribeca. I've just grown so much in my faith because of them. And I'm just excited to just go back to school and just be surrounded with more of my community. I'm also just so excited to just see what the Lord does. I'm going to be like a residential assistant this coming school year. So I'm just excited to start building those relationships with my residents, but also to see what the Lord does. I have so many ideas on how to just get to know my girls and grow deeper with my friendships and my relationships at school. I'm just so excited. I'm excited to see what God does.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Haiti. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
And Pastor Olivia, thank you for joining us also.
Thanks for having me. It was good to be here.
Well, thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Haiti Valadares Yanis's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.